to be in church, isn't it? That's good to see me, isn't it? Well, see, I had you moving in that direction. I thought you guys would just get right with it. I'm from Ohio. How many of you folks are from Michigan? How many from Michigan? Would you please go back? I know Brother McBride is glad to be here. We were together with him about 3 weeks ago in Michigan, and it was like Florida. Right? Well, it was one day it was 26 degrees. My son in Florida called it, it was 19. I said, well, come on up to Michigan. Balmy Michigan. Open your Bibles, if you will, to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Talk to you about something that affects everybody. James chapter 1, verse 12 said, blessed is a man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So I'm talking to you this morning about temptation, because everybody gets tempted, all right? Whatever it is, everybody gets tempted. I'm going to talk to you about how to deal with it. First off, you ever hear anybody say this? They talk about preachers, but they talk about some other person. They'll go, did you hear about so-and-so? They fell into sin. You know, nobody falls into sin. Have you ever fallen into something? You know, you're walking across the yard. Sometimes, you'd be walking across the yard, and there's a little bit of hole, it's full of grass, and you don't see it, and you fall into it. Well, you don't fall into sin. No, nobody, walking down the street, and then next thing you know, they're walking out of a bar drunk. It doesn't happen. You cannot fall into sin. But let me tell you this, you can fall into temptation. Now, you guys have all seen it. You all see that, some of you did when you were in school, you take a piece of paper, put a bunch of metal filings on it, and you put a magnet right under the center. And when you put that magnet right under the center, those metal filings, they don't do two things, they do three things. One group that's inside the sphere of the magnetic force, that magnet, go right to it, correct? Yes. Well, if you think of the magnet as temptation, those are the ones that gave in. And then way out here, you got some laying there like they don't even know there's a magnet anywhere around. They're not even bothered, correct? Yes. But it's the ones at the edge. Did you ever look at the ones at the edge? They're kind of going like this. You know? They're kind of standing up, leaning in, leaning out. Those are the ones that are being tempted. They haven't given in, but they're sure thinking hard about it, all right? And so here's what you can do. You cannot fall into sin, but you can fall into temptation, which means you can be just doing minding your own business, doing your own thing, and all of a sudden be tempted. This happened. I fly a lot, and I was sitting at the gate waiting for an airplane, and this lady got up and she'd had some money folded up. You know how you fold it and then fold it over? I don't know where she had it, but when she got up, it fell on the floor. Well, I mean, she's walking away. You got to act fast. So I said, Romans 8:28. No, man. I called her over. But here's the thing. See, you'll be minding your business, and then that quick, all of a sudden, you'll find yourself tempted to do something. And so I'm going to talk to you about how to take care of that. I want you to go with me back now to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. There's an interesting passage of scripture here. The Lord is talking. Was Jesus Christ God? Yes. Yeah, I think so too. Okay? And I say that for this reason. I was raised Roman Catholic. And Roman Catholics, they got a lot of, they repeat a lot of prayers. Don't mean much of them, but they say a lot of things. And it says this. Here's the Lord talking. He says this in verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. When I was Roman Catholic, this is called the Lord's Prayer. Now, you know that's not the Lord's Prayer, because the Lord's not praying that. He's actually teaching us how to pray. And here's what I was told after I got saved. They said, well, you don't want to say that prayer anymore. I said, why not? They said, well, that's vain repetition. Now, I have a question. How could the words that God spoke be vain? You say, well, you keep repeating them over and over. That's repetition. I'll bet there are people sitting here right now. There's people you have prayed for to get saved for 15 and 20 and 25 years, correct? And they didn't get saved yet, right? Well, sounds like repetition. It sounds vain. Why don't you stop it? I just don't know how you can, I don't know how the words that the Lord said can be vain repetition. And take a look how he says. He tells us, he's given us a format on prayer. And he said, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. How many times do you ever go to God and say something good about him? Usually we go in like this. If you want the truth, we don't even want God. We want Santa Claus. I go there with my list. Here's what I want. And could you please hurry up?
Yes.
Right? And so he said, when you go to God, start out by saying something good about him. You say, well, that sounds like flattery. No, no, it can't be flattery. You know what flattery is? Flattery is a compliment beyond reason. Lady, you fix supper for somebody. You have a guest over, and he says, ma'am, that was some good fried chicken. And you say, that's great. That was meatloaf. Okay. But no, really, really, you know, you say, that was some good fried chicken. You know, here, this lady's going to a lot of trouble to make that meal for you. You ought to give her a compliment. But it's when you go like this. You know, I don't think I've ever had chicken that good. You know, my wife doesn't cook as good as you do. Now, here's how you can tell when you're being flattered. When you feel your head inflating. Okay? But you see, here's what happens. You give the person the compliment they have coming, but then you go beyond reason, and that is flattery. Now, let me ask you a question. What can you say good about God that is beyond reason?
Right.
What could you say about God that somebody go, well, I think you went a little over the top there, didn't you? So I think we ought to start our prayer by saying something good about him. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Again, when's the last time you went to God and said, I hope you get what you want? Don't we really go to God and say, I hope I get what I want?
Yes.
And let me ask you a question. I'm pretty sure of this. Am I talking to a group of people that when you sit down to eat, you bow your head and thank God for your food? I hope you do. How many of you ask him for it? Look at the next line. And give us this day our daily bread. Isn't that asking for food? You know, we Americans, forget about Haiti for a moment, just most of the world, about 85% of this world, they wake up with two thoughts every day. How do I get food and how do I keep it?
Yeah.
Isn't that right? And there's four reasons why you never ask God for food. You know what they are? Pantry, refrigerator, freezer, grocery store. I haven't been in any of your homes, but I'll bet you got more food in your house you can eat in one day.
Amen.
Now, some of you Baptists probably give it a try, but the fact is that and look, if your pantry or refrigerator or freezer get low, you're not going to pray and ask God for food. You're going to go to the grocery store and restock. But you think maybe if this recession that we're in really takes a nosedive and we turn into someplace about as good as Haiti, I'll bet you'll be asking God for food then, don't you think? You know what I think? I don't know about you, but I don't like lines. And I figure about 300 million people can get the same idea at the same time. So we just go in early. I ask God every day to give us our food. My wife and I haven't had a house in 25 years. We just live on the road, and we have a motorhome. It doesn't have a big refrigerator. It doesn't have a big freezer. I don't even think it has a pantry. I think I see canned soup in the bathroom cabinet, so I know we don't have a pantry. But But you know what? I don't trust our refrigerator. I don't trust our freezer. We don't trust our pantry. We don't trust the grocery stores. We just ask God for our food every day. Think about this, you Baptist. If you ask God for food every day, then every time you sit down to eat, wouldn't that be an answer to prayer? Man, you could get a prayer answered like six times a day. Verse 12, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Look at verse 13. And lead us not into temptation. Temptation has a sphere of influence. You know, when our modern fighters, when that fighter is going to cross the line into enemy territory, he's got on a screen, he's got a topographical map, a computer-generated topographical map, and there's a bunch of little circles on it. What those circles are is that is the sweep of an anti-aircraft radar system, and it's on. The yellow circle means that it's on and it's sweeping, but it isn't picking him up. Now, if he crosses inside the sphere of that circle, that goes from yellow to red. That doesn't mean he's going to get shot down. That means he could get shot down. And the idea is not to see how many of those you can turn red and get back. The idea is if you got a yellow circle here, and you got a yellow circle here, and you got a yellow circle here, you fly between them. You don't want to get inside the sphere of influence. So here's a prayer for you. Valid prayer told by the Lord to you. You ought to ask God, lead me not into temptation. You say, well, I'm going to go be tempted so I can get stronger against it. You can't.
Right.
You know why you can't? Because isn't the word temptation? Isn't that the word, temptation?
Yes.
Well, if temptation is temptation, you can't get used to it, because if you experience temptation, you are being tempted. So don't, you know, I talked to a guy one time back when I was in Bible college. This will date me. The bad movie was Rosemary's Baby. I know what it's about. I haven't seen it. I'm not interested in seeing it. And this college guy was a year or two behind me. He said, I'm going to go see Rosemary's Baby. I said, we don't go to movies. I said, why are you going to go see Rosemary's Baby? He said, well, I want to preach against it, and I can't preach against it if I don't know what it's about. He said, what do you think of that? I said, well, I hope you never want to preach against drug addiction. Alcoholism, wife beating, and if he wants to preach against homosexuality, I don't want to be around for the research. So the first thing I want to tell you, the first thing is, ask God. Guys, it is a valid prayer. I start my day every day saying, lead me not into temptation. Now, I'm going to tell you the verse that is going to mess some of you up. You say, well, I'm not worried about it because the Bible says, you know, God won't have any temptation, but I'm able, and he'll make a way of escape. And so when I get tempted, I'll just take the way of escape. That's the whole problem. You'll have a way of escape. You just may not take it. Now look, what if right now smoke started to billow out from that baptistry and maybe down from these doors here, down from these doors there, and we can get out right here. Now, even though you're Baptist, I'll bet you won't vote on leaving the building. I'll bet you just get up and head out. You say, that's exactly what I do. That's the way of escape. Now let's add a little temptation. Right up here is a wheelbarrow full of gold coins. Now you say, well, I'm going to get out. There's nothing to it. I mean, it's, you know, not that far, but... I mean, sure, it's a shame to leave all those coins burn and me with empty pockets, and I'm just trying to rescue them. And so you walk up here, and you're, you know, you got a coffin, and you fill up a pocket, and you go, well, you know, we're supposed to be balanced. And so you fill up the other pocket, and they find you dead from smoke inhalation right at the foot of the steps. There was a way of escape, but you did not take it.
Right.
You know, when... Mount Vesuvius destroyed Pompeii, they found the body of a guy. You know what? This man could have escaped with his life. But I'll tell you where they found him. They found him in the window of his house. He had filled bags with all of his gold and coins and precious jewels. He had taken the time to do all that when he should have been escaping. Then he was half out the window when he was overcome by the fumes, and he died. So here's the problem with you. See, you've got so much confidence, you're going to take the way of escape. But the word is temptation, and you may not. So the first thing is, ask God every day, lead me not into temptation. Number two, don't lead yourself into temptation. You know, if you're a recovering alcoholic, there may be a bar in this town that's got the best shrimp basket in town. That's not a good place to go for shrimp. That really is just not a place. You know, I preach in Las Vegas. I've never put a dime, nickel, quarter in them one-armed bandits. You know, I don't even go for the $5 prime rib anymore. You know, I'm not interested in those casinos or anything like that. But you know, if you had a gambling problem and you got over it, it probably wouldn't be good to buy a house in Las Vegas and go down to the casino. Well, just being a good steward, that's the cheapest prime rib you can get. In other words, don't put yourself in the way of temptation. Now, we're not going to do this, but if we all stood up and said, here is what I'm tempted to do, some of us be shocked. We'd be shocked for several reasons. One, some of the diabolical things that would be said. Some of us would be shocked by what some people are tempted to do. There'd be somebody stand up and say, pray for me. I bought a dozen donuts yesterday and I ate seven of them, and I think I'm going to go back and finish them off. Now, really, you say, oh, that's not somebody's temptation. You think that's not? I wish it was mine. But anyway, I just eat them. I'm not even tempted. I'll just go ahead and do it. But guys, here's the thing. In other words, don't put yourself where you will be tempted. I'll give you an example. My hand. For a moment, this is not going to be a hand. This is a wooded area. This wooded area is 2 miles long. It is 1 mile across. You live here. And the path home comes here, and you go around that woods. And the reason you go around that woods, that's 2 miles out, one down, 2 miles back, 5 mile walk. The reason you always go around the woods is from a child, you've been told, don't go into that woods, there's wolves there. And there are. People have been killed. You've seen them. But, and so every, you dutifully come here. You go 2 miles out, 1 mile down, 2 miles back. But one night you're running late. Man, it's going to take you a long time. Bad weather's moving in. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just cut across there, and I'll be very careful. And you know what happens? Nothing. You don't see a wolf. You're not killed by a wolf. You're not chased by a wolf. You don't see a wolf footprint. You don't hear a wolf. But you just violated a scripture. Now, really, walking through a woods with wolves is not a violation of scripture, but doesn't the Bible tell us to abstain from the appearance of evil? You know, if there is a bar and it does have a good shrimp basket and you do like shrimp, that is still not the place to go, even if you don't have a problem with drink. If you go in and have the shrimp basket and a Diet Coke, you still shouldn't do that. Because when you walk out, the guy that from the church here that sees you come out is probably not going to say, "Betty had the shrimp basket and a Diet Coke." I knew of a place where this man would go to work, and every time he went to work, about every morning, some other man had come and spend 3 hours with his wife. I know what you're thinking, but that's not what happened. You know what they were doing? I'm telling you, know what they were doing? They're talking about baseball. Now, personally, I think talking about baseball for 3 hours is as close to sin as you can get. But here's the problem. You say, well, then what's wrong with that? Well, I'm sure when he left 3 hours later, the neighbor across the street, the lost guy, probably said, "Bet they're talking about baseball again." But you see, here's the problem. You go once and you talk about baseball, and you go again and you talk about baseball, and you go again and you talk about baseball. Then you go talk about baseball. Then you end up in bed and say, "Gee, how did I fall into sin?" Yeah. You didn't. You put yourself where you could be tempted. So don't lead yourself into temptation. The third thing, and man, you've got to really get this down. There is a time, man, when you just got to stand, even if you got to take a beat. You just got to take a stand and take a beat. This is not it. If you find yourself tempted, run like a coward. The Bible tells us to flee fornication. There's a time when you say, "Okay, I'm just taking my stand here, and this is how it's going to go, and if we got to go down here, then this is where we do it." But not with temptation. When you find yourself tempted, head for the exit. You say, "Well, they'll laugh at me." You'd rather have them laugh because you ran than what they're going to say if you give in. You know the story about Joseph and Potiphar's wife and all the things transpired there. And he, you say, "Well, he didn't give in." That's right. Do you ever think maybe he ran because he wanted to stay? I bet Potiphar's wife had a nickname around that household. I bet her name was Easy. Don't tell me he was the first guy she ever threw herself at. I bet you all them servants knew about her. And maybe he wanted to stay, so he left. So, guys, this is no time for manhood. This is no time to beat your chest and say, "I'm just going to take a stand. I'm not a coward. I'm going to run." Be a coward. This is a really good day to be a coward. I mean, absolutely run. Run like a coward. Now, there's something else you've got to get straight about temptation, because we've got kind of a crazy idea about temptation. What would happen if a preacher came up here to preach this week and said, "Well, pray for me. You know, you aren't going to believe what happened on a plane down here. I used to drink a lot before I got saved, and I bought one of those little bottles and I put it in my Coke and I put it to my lips and I said, 'No, I can't do this,' and I didn't drink it." I'll bet you somebody come up to Pastor Carter and go, "Why are you letting somebody like him preach?" Guys, he was tempted, but he didn't do it. Here's what you have to know about temptation. Being tempted to sin is not sin. Doesn't the Bible tell us in Hebrews that Jesus Christ was what? Tempted in all manners like as us, yet without sin? Which means he experienced temptation, but if he experienced temptation and did not sin, then that tells us that being tempted to sin is not sin itself. Now, I say that for this reason. Some of you have shocked yourselves. You've shocked yourselves by what you found yourself tempted to do. Correct? If you have been tempted to do a diabolical thing, if you've been tempted to do a very terrible thing and did not do it, then quit beating yourself like you did. "Oh, I just can't believe somebody like, I've been teaching Sunday school for 25 years. I can't believe, I call myself a Christian and I thought about doing that." Well, you're not better than Jesus Christ, are you? Are you better than Jesus Christ? Wasn't he God? Wasn't he sinless? But the Bible said that he was tempted. So if he can be tempted, I guess you can be tempted. So if you've ever been tempted, or you found some, you knew somebody that was tempted to do something, and you found out about it, and they didn't do it, then grant them what James called a victory. God said when you've endured temptation and didn't give in to it, that is a victory. Guys, you get a reward for that. So if you've ever been tempted to do something and didn't do it, then you've got the crown of life. Don't go, oh, I can't believe
the things that go through my mind.
Just be glad they go through. Like, you know, like instructions and everything else. But just be glad they go through. Don't let them stop. Now, if you want to endure temptation, or if you want to experience temptation, I'm going to tell you how to do it. Oh, it's easy to do down here. It's real easy. I'm going to say two words, and a bunch of you are going to know exactly what I'm talking about. Timeshare. You ever do a time, you know, you come here, tickets to Disney World for 3 cents. Just come by here. We'll give you these tickets, you know. Free tickets to Disney World or something. And you go there and they spend 40 minutes or 90 minutes trying to sell you a timeshare. Now, there's nothing wrong with timeshares. Some of you got them and they work. Some of you got them and don't know how you got them. I'll tell you what you did. You put yourself in that sphere of influence. You went in there saying, well, I'm not buying nothing. I'm just going to get the tickets. Oh, right, right. Well, I'm just going to tell them I can't afford it. Well, they've never heard that line before. And they're going to start telling you, well, you know, here's why you can afford it. And you're going to be going, wow, we can't afford it. And this is all it cost you a week. Well, that's all it cost us a week. And you walk out of there having bought that thing or not, but you will experience temptation. What we do, my wife and I, if we want something like that, we just go and say, we're here for the tickets. And they go, well, you have to, no, I said, no, we're not going to buy your timeshare, so just give us the tickets. They go, well, you have to stay here 90 minutes. I said, no, we brought books. We're just going to read. We're going to sit right over here. We're going to read for 90 minutes. You sell this to somebody, and then in 90 minutes, come and give us our tickets because you're wasting our time and yours. So we read our books for 90 minutes, get our tickets, and leave. You say, why do you do that? Because if I listen, I might buy. See, I don't trust myself. I'm not going to put myself in the way of temptation. What I'm telling you guys, maybe, gentlemen, midnight isn't a good time to surf the net for real estate. Just don't lead yourself into temptation. You say, well, I'm not going to buy no timeshares. That can't be my problem. Oh, I'll show you a problem. I'll show you a problem a bunch of young people have and some of you have. Now, I'm going to save you a bunch of money. Listen. If you need an item, you need a bottle of cough syrup, you need a gallon of milk, go to the corner gas station and get it. You say, oh no, it's so expensive there. I go to Walmart and it's 75 cents cheaper at Walmart. But when you go to Walmart, you'll walk out with 9 more things. How many times have you looked at something and said, boy, I can't afford that, but what? But you gave in to temptation. And now some of you find yourself over your head in debt because you led yourself into temptation. Guys, there are times, it's just easier for me. I just go to the gas station, and the other day we needed some milk, and I went to the gas station, paid $95 for half a gallon of milk. But that beat going to Walmart and paying $85 for 74 more items. But really, guys, really, here I'm telling you now, look, get it straight. Here's the system. Number one, you ought to pray this. The Lord told you this. You ought to pray this every day. Lord, lead me, please. Please don't lead me into temptation. Please don't. I don't even want to experience it. Number two, don't lead yourself into it. Number three, if you find yourself tempted, run like a coward. The very person that will laugh at you for running is the one that would murder you for giving in. And fourth, if you have been tempted to do something, don't beat yourself. You got the victory. Being tempted and not giving into it is called a victory in the Bible, guys. And so say, I'm sure glad I got the victory. And even though I was tempted to a horrible thing, I didn't give in. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll turn over to the pastor. Father, thank you for your goodness and your grace. Thank you, God, for this instruction book in just the things of life, God, that can so turn our lives upside down. I pray now, God, for these people. I can't ask you, don't lead them into temptation. They have to do that. But I do hope you do lead them away from temptation. I hope they have enough sense not to lead themselves into it. And I hope they got the courage to flee it if they find themselves in it. And the grace, God, to not condemn themselves or somebody else if they have been tempted yet without sin. God, I pray that this will help somebody here. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.